Good evening, everybody. How are you going? Great. Isn't that good? What a response. Well, I think tonight could be one of those nights. Don't you laugh. Don't start me laughing. I don't think I've been to too many conventions where I ended up on the floor before the meeting started. I blame you, Mr. National President, because you should have taken charge. Praise God. I do have a message tonight. Graham, you'll be very pleased to know I have a message and I'm going to try and bring it. Huh? I say that every time, don't I?
You won't get there.
But before I do, I want to share a couple of things, a couple of thoughts that I believe of the Holy Ghost. I've already acknowledged this afternoon my appreciation and Lorna's appreciation of just how wonderfully well we've been treated and how wonderfully well this convention's been run. But I just feel tonight, and I want to do that again, of course, but tonight I want to really show you guys to show your appreciation for this music team. I don't think, hold off on your applause, I don't think you guys realize the potential and that you have here. Let me say something prophetically. Every convention I've been to, I've seen DVDs of the music team and CDs, but I've not seen any of yours. I know you don't have any. I'm not being smart when I say that. And you know what I'm saying to you prophetically? It's about time you did it. And I'm going to challenge, thank you, Colin, at least one person agrees with me, but I'm going to challenge the national board and the membership of this nation, of the fellowship. And you guys need to pray about getting behind these guys and getting a DVD and get that stuff out there. Now, you can turn around to me and say, well, hang on, that's not a mandate of the fellowship. That's true, it's not. It's not in our mission statement, but let me tell you something. These guys are anointed of the Holy Ghost. In actual fact, guys, as I'm speaking, I want you to come here, please, and line up here. There's a reason why I'm going to do this. They're anointed of the Holy Ghost, and you know, the praises and the worship, you know, when you praise and worship, ushers in the Holy Ghost. And I don't know anybody else, but I've had times during this convention where I've had trouble standing up. And that's not because I'm drunk in the Holy Ghost before the meeting or when the meeting starts. It probably happens afterwards, but not in that time, as for some of you. But I want to say this to you. You need to listen to really to what the Holy Spirit is saying through me right now. You see, there's nothing happens by coincidence. I heard testimony of how these guys, it was a miracle they're here at this convention. They loved the fellowship. Above and beyond that, they love the Lord Jesus with all their heart, with all their soul. They're passionate. I've heard a little bit about the story of this group and some of the health issues they've been through, and I've heard some of the great testimonies that have already happened. And our man can't come down. But never mind, he might get slain the spirit up there. Someone better take over the camera if that happens. But I believe there's still some battles to be won here. And I'm believing they've already been won in the supernatural because we've prayed about it. And you know, when it's prayed, it's done. But sometimes we've heard from Don, you know, miracles happen straight away, you know. But healing sometimes takes time. And I'm just believing tonight, as I was preparing for this meeting, I just sense the Lord said, Rod, before you do anything, before you bring the word, you pray for this group. And I'm believing by faith right now. For all those health issues that you guys are experiencing right now, that you've been totally healed in the name of Jesus, I believe that by faith, even before I lay hands on you. Thank you. And we need some catches behind here. And I'm just believing as well, right, God, that this is part of that process. But I want you to hear, before you see anything happens from his point, that I'm prophesying right now that you will have a DVD, you will have CDs, and I'm telling you right now by the Spirit of God that it will be financed, it will not cost you guys 1 cent, that people, God is going to raise up a people that are going to support this ministry and it's going to send you globally, not just around this nation but around the world. And I want to tell you something, so therefore we have a responsibility as a fellowship, and I'm being very, very cheeky now, right, but we have a responsibility of the fellowship in some way, shape or form, Mr. National President, support that. I'm not saying we have to pay for it all. I'm not saying what we have to do. I'm saying we should consider it prayerfully. And Father, first before I pray for that, I'm going to pray right now in the name of Jesus for every health issue that these guys are facing right now. And I'm speaking wholeness of body in the name of Jesus. and I speak healing to this body right now in the name of Jesus. And people, don't just sit there. I want you to stretch your hands forward, because this has got nothing to do with me. It's all about Him. Touch in the name of Jesus. Heal in the name of Jesus. Heal in the name of Jesus. Heal in the name. Heal in the name of Jesus. Receive the healing. Receive that healing. Receive that healing in the name of Jesus. And I renounce every word, every negative word that's been spoken against these people in the name of Jesus, from every doctor, from every GP, every oncologist, in the name of Jesus. We respect their opinions, but Jesus, You are the healer, and You have authority. You are the one. You are the one that decides. So heal in Jesus' name. Heal in Jesus' name. And Father, I'm prophesying and believing right now, Father, their music will go globally. It will go globally, Father God, and You are raising up it right now. Even this meeting, there are businessmen I'm talking to you right now. You need to get your checkbooks out. You need to start writing some checks, and you need to give these guys some money before they leave this place tonight. And I tell you right now, I'm not even a Kiwi, but I'm going to put some money towards it, because the Holy Ghost said, Rod, you better practice what you preach. And one thing I've learned about this, about our Lord that we serve, you better do as He tells you. Amen? Is that okay? If you don't talk to me afterwards, I'm flying out tomorrow. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Touch her anew in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Just give the Lord a clap. God's going to do some stuff tonight. You know, one of the words that God gave me in the praise and worship, and this is why, look, I'm biased to these guys. I tell you that. I am. Because they've really blessed me, but I know they've blessed you. But you know what? They've blessed Him. That's the most important thing. Amen. And as I was there, it's interesting, a couple of the prophetic words that came before I came up. Thank You for those people that brought those words. This is full gospel. We love the expression of the gifts. For those people who have not been to a full gospel meeting, I'm not going to apologize for it. That's our name, Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. You can work it out now. What I want to say is this. One of the words that God gave me, there's a river anointing flowing tonight in this place. And the person that brought the floodgates, I want to tell you, you're right on. There's going to be a floodgates that are going to open tonight. Amen. Yeah, that's something we can get excited about. As I walked around the room earlier on, I thought, isn't it amazing? Here it is. You know, it's a weekend, and probably in the worldly sense, there's people out there, they're shooting up, they're doing all sorts of stuff, they're drinking, and they're doing all sorts of weird stuff, right? So they can get a kick and a buzz and everything else. They got the end, and they go to the discos, and they got the lights flashing and all that stuff on the smoke screen. Man, they don't have to do that. They can walk in here for nicks. But you know, one of the tragedies is we don't invite them to come. That's why they're probably not here, most of us. Better think about that one for a minute, hadn't we? Two things I want to talk about before I get to my message. I haven't forgotten. I've got a message, all right? First thing is, I talked today about the dispensation of power. I touched on it, but let me say this to you. I don't know if you sort of appreciate what's happening right now around the world, but there's been a dispensation of power that the Holy Ghost has been putting right throughout the nations of the world. And that dispensation of power, if you understand anything about that, is it generally has been starting in the third world countries. And right now is a tsunami wave going through Asia. But you know what? Praise God, we're on the bottom end of Asia, you know. And I believe it's trickling over here and it's filtering over here. And brother, this brother here, I know I prayed for you a couple of times. And I just want you to, if you don't mind, just come to this aisle here. Because the reason I'm doing this is because, you see, there's been a power transference been happening in this convention. If you haven't picked it up just yet, you need to understand what's going on here. This brother here I'm talking to. Yeah, and I need somebody behind him to catch him. Because, you see, what's happening, and we were talking after we had the meeting earlier on about, and I gave him a prophetic word that he was the guy that was going to lead these over 70s, right? To do the mentoring and the training and the equipping, and what was going to happen to those young guys, right? Because we're going to train those young guys, aren't we?
Yeah.
Right? And you're going to take that group of guys, and man, they're going to do stuff that's going to blow your mind, because you're going to be starting to operate, and I know you have already, but you're going to be operating in a supernatural realm. a supernatural realm that some people would do not understand, and they will say, what the heck is going on with this guy? What's going on with this group of guys? Man, have they totally lost it? Well, you're right, they have, because they've given it all to him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for that transference of power, and it's still happening right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, and take him, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And the reason I'm doing this specifically is it's going to continue to on. Men, what we've got to do when we go back to our chapters, you see, we've got to take this stuff back with us. It's good to come to a conference and get all revved up and to lay on the floor and do a bit of carpet time, right? But I tell you something. You know, there's been an impartation here over these last few days, and you know what I'm saying. We've got to take that back, men. And later on, I thank you, Lord, for reminding me. I want to pray for all the presidents. Sorry, not me, specifically. The National Board are going to pray for all the presidents. No, in actual fact, they're going to pray for the regional directors and the field representatives, and then they're going to pray for the presidents. And we're going to have to see a transference of power tonight that's going to come from above, right, that's going to flow right through this organization, Graham, and the board. And those guys are going to go back to their chapters, and there's going to be a power transference into those chapters. In line with that, what's going to happen? My Scottish brother, he doesn't shake my hand no more. I don't think he likes me no more. That's why he doesn't shake my hand. I just want you to come over here. See, I'm doing this just to show you what God has been doing, and he's going to share hopefully his testimony or somewhat what's been happening. As he's been on the floor, God's been giving him visions and dreams. And it's been amazing stuff. And he's seeing stuff, man, in the spirit. Now, I don't know whether he did that before or not. I don't think probably as much as what he has been doing. But what's been happening, God's been downloading while he's been here. And God seems to always, for me, download more when you're on the floor. I don't know why. Maybe he thinks I'm thick when I'm standing up or something, right? But you know, we're saying with you, Neil, isn't it? When you've been on the floor, he's been just giving you visions and dreams, and you've seen stuff happening. He's going to do it again right there. Thank you, Father. Fill him anew and give him a new vision and a new dream. And see, he's got to go back to the chapter right now, and he's got to do the same thing back in the chapter. I tell you something, what we've got to realize, men, is this. When we go back to our chapters, when we're running our banquets and our outreach meetings, you know what? We better start reading what it says about the gifts of the Spirit. Because it says it's for the non-believer. You see, what we want to do, we want to package it all up. I believe what Ron was saying. We want to put it all in a big box and bring it out on Sunday like a Christmas gift, unwrap it all, and it's for the church. And it's for our little FGB meeting on when we run our banquet. No, it's not. It's for the non-believer. That's how it works. And I want to tell you something. We struggle. Well, this is not in my notes. You might be right. But you know what happens, FGB people. Sorry for those who are not FGB. I'm apologizing in advance. But you know what happens with us when we get into our little meetings, and sometimes they're a little bit of a holy huddle, but we won't go there tonight, right? But when we get into our meetings, you see, and we're not operating in the realm of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, guess what happens? Not much. Funny about that. And I want to tell you, if you've got a chapter that's operating in the gifts of the Spirit, you will not have a problem getting non-believers to come to your meeting. Do you believe that? Because I tell you something. If you see, if a crippled person comes into your meeting, into your chapter meeting, and gets out the wheelchair and walks, and that happens in Invercargill in your chapter meeting, my friend, I tell you what, it'll hit the front paper. And I tell you, the next meeting you'll have it booked out. Invercargill down the bottom, that little club right down there, mate, you won't get in that door. You won't have to do too much advertising. Am I right? So what we're saying, well, in this room, there is a tremendous potential. But what I'm saying is, let's not lock it up in a box. Let's get it back to the chapters. Let's get the gifts flowing. Let's get back to where we were. I sense tonight, and as some of you have heard my testimony, and when I did put it in the voice, what I said about it basically was this, or my opening line was, God is alive and heals today. And I want to tell you, we've seen evidence of that already. We're going to see more evidence of that tonight. And that's what I was just saying about that with those people. And, you know, and I keep getting asked all the time. I remember going on a radio program in Adelaide. It was a Christian radio program. And they asked me this question. Why do you see the miracles you see in Africa? Now, I could have told them that very quickly. But mainly Christians listening. And I said, I choose not to answer that question, really. I sort of evaded it. Right? But I want to tell you, and I better be careful what I tell you, one of the reasons why we see what we see is because those people come to a meeting expecting God to move. And they come sometimes walking for 6 days. And we've had meetings, I think I shared the other day, where a lady had a stroke in one side and she crawled to the desert for 6 days and six nights. Where's my driver? And that was at a place called up in the Turkana Desert near Ludwa. In actual fact, we're talking about Ludwa, one of the hottest places in the world, I think. But you know what? You don't have a problem when, and I don't know that particular lady, by the way, whether she was healed in the meeting, but I mean, what sort of faith is that? I'm not going to ask anybody here whether they'd crawl through the desert for 6 days to hear me speak tonight because I know what the answer would be. You've got to be joking, mate. Yeah. Yes, because you're my friend. But you know where I'm coming from here? Okay. Tonight. I want to talk a little bit about tonight. Make sure it's one of the men I want to pray for. Where is a man that I was speaking to when we were having dinner tonight? Was in the line. We were speaking and having dinner. Brother, can you come up here, please? You see, I just need to share some stuff with you. And the best way to share stuff is not just talk about it, is do it. This is a good, nice brother. Good friend of mine. I never knew him till tonight. I just started talking to him. I said I was going to pray for you, but you didn't think I was going to say in front of everybody out the front at the start of the meeting, did you?
No, I didn't.
You didn't. Nor did I at that time. But when I was sitting in the praise and worship time over there, right, the Lord said, get Peter up and pray for him. You know why? I'm going to talk about, one of the things I talked about today was the transference of wealth.
Thank you.
From the unrighteous to the righteous.
Right.
And you're a righteous man. You're a godly man. And I know you were telling me how God's blessed you and everything else, but I want to tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet, Peter. You ain't seen nothing yet because you're a faithful servant of God. And I tell you what you've learned. You're a giver. You know you have given to the kingdom. And sometimes I sense you've even given when you've not even have it to give. And I want to tell you everything you've done for the kingdom of God, everything you've given it for the right reasons. But I'm telling you, God will honor it. And everything is a double portion of anointing, double portion of blessing. And Father, right now, I think, I can't remember, but I know he's in the farm some way, Father God. But I just, Father, and believe and speaking right now, this is going to be a testimony of your grace, Lord. He shared tonight, Lord, he hasn't done his testimony. He's going to be doing his testimony because it's going to be so powerful. It's going to be so powerful, Lord God, that he will want to just get up there and share of what you've done in his life.
Thank you, Lord.
And I release the spirit, O Father, over him in the name of Jesus. Spirit of prosperity to rise up in that man in Jesus' name. And Father, that he is going to become a living testimony in his town, in his area, Father God, and they're going to know he's a man of blessing. Even secular people are going to recognize he's a man of blessing. He's a godly man. He must be because he's blessed of God Almighty. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give God another clap because he's doing stuff here. So tonight, I want to share a little bit of what I believe God has meant for you, and then we're going to pray for some people. Because I think tonight's sort of almost the finale. Oh.
I've fallen apart.
You've fallen apart?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, when the Lord knocked me down, I felt the Lord was saying, I don't need that thing. You can hear me in the back.
Good.
To be recorded. You need an interpreter.
I'll interpret for you in Aussie.
They said they're not going to change your name, Full Gospel Business Men's Fellowship International. The Lord said, Full Gospel Business, men and female. The Lord says that the rooms you're going to have your fellowships in are not going to be big enough for the people that's coming to worship the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a clap. Praise God. Oh. I love that man. I don't know, but actually you should buy some of the tapes because you've been asleep most of the time at the convention, so you need to buy the tapes so you know what's been going on. Well, lucky I don't get offended easily, otherwise I would have think you've just gone to sleep because I was too boring. Yeah. You see why I like the guy? He's got a sense of humour, huh? You sure you're not part Aussie? For our sound man up the back, tonight I'm going to be talking about achieving, the title, sir, is Achieving Full Potential. I do have a title tonight. Yesterday we sort of didn't get to a title even, let alone the notes. But tonight I want to talk about achieving our full potential in Jesus Christ. I talked a little bit today, of what I felt, where, as far as in the marketplace was concerned, apostles in the marketplace, but tonight I want to talk about achieving full potential. I want to talk about our purpose, our God-given purpose. I want to now talk about individually. This afternoon was a little bit probably corporately. I now want to talk about individual walks. I want to talk about God's purpose in our life. We have one. And as I've already mentioned a couple of times, we all have a destiny, a God-given destiny. And most of us, unfortunately, I don't believe ever get to that full potential of our destiny. And I think one of the biggest disappointments is sometimes when I talk to Christians, they don't even know what their destiny is, what they're supposed to be doing, let alone how they're going to get there. But I believe each one of us in this room, every one of us that's born again, spirit-filled, we have a destiny in God. It's not a business plan. I mean, praise God for business plans for those in business. You know, I really struggle in my secular work because I'm dealing in financial planning, right? And, you know, I do, because the groups that we deal with and clients and whatever, they're always wanting me to know about business plans, right? And I have to be honest, you know, I probably have a reasonably limited business plan. I probably have two. I have a secular one, of course, but also, you know, I have one for God. What is a business plan for this year? My business plan probably for this year, quite frankly, would have been that I've got to try and do as many trips and ministry visitations as I can into different nations. You're right. Wonderful. He says you're wonderful. Now I know why you're on the floor all the time. It's wonderful down there. I got it. Hey, you're a smart guy. And I want to say this for our plan, our purpose. We all have one, and God has one, and he's committed to it. Now, I won't do too many scriptures tonight because we don't really have time. I want to keep an eye on the clock because I want to pray for some people tonight. But I'll just give you the scripture references, or buy the tape, whatever you want to do. But Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. What it says in my version is, to the intent that now the manifest wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I believe Jesus had a purpose. We know that, don't we? And he fulfilled that same purpose. Because on the cross he said it's finished. Scripture reference I want to give you is this, John 17:4. Father, glorify me now, for now I've completed the work you've given me to do. 1 John 3:8, another quick reference. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So God has a purpose for us. God has a purpose for it individually. He has a purpose for us corporately, FGBFI. We talked about that today, as I've said. The wider body of Christ, God has a purpose. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say our purpose. And we all know that scripture. We can probably just quote it like that. Let me make a statement to you. We achieve full potential when we reach the full purpose that God has for us. I believe that's the only time we reach full potential. And tonight what I want to do, just to illustrate this a little bit, I want to talk about one of my favorite subjects, is eagles. Now, as I mentioned, you come to my office, you should relate well to this. I got 32 eagles. Very good. See? You're famous even in my office. Because every time a client walks into my office, all they see is eagles. And they say, obviously you like eagles. And I say, yes, I love eagles. And you know, that's an interesting point. Once again, just digressing for a quick minute. For those of us in business, of course we should have our voice magazines on the counter and our little folders or little holders and our little voice tracks. But you know how many of those go? Not that many. But I want to say this to you. When my client walks in my office and sees the big picture of the eagle and says, do you like eagles? I go, yes. And they sit down, they see another picture, and then they see a big one sitting there on the cupboard. They say, wow, you like eagles. How come you like, why do you like eagles so much? And I say, that's a very interesting question. Now, you know what I find with Aussies? They're very inquisitive. Because what I tell them is this, you don't really want to know why I like eagles. They go, yes, I do. Works every time. And then I say, in actual fact, I said, you know that eagles are a fascinating bird. I will get some of the notes tonight, but, you know, just a little bit sidetracked. And I say, you know, they're a very fascinating bird. They go, really? And then I start to talk about how fascinating these birds are. And if you, honestly, if you have time, do a study. It will blow your mind when you look at the analogy there on the eagles and then to Christians and our walk. It is absolutely mind-blowing. And I start talking to them and just give them some basic stuff about eagles. And then I relate it back to a Christianity. And they go, wow, we never knew that. And then you bring it back to the, it's a bit like Don, you know he's got a real natural way of directing people back to the cross, hasn't he? There's no doubt about that, you know. And the same with this, you know, I start talking about Christendom, but in a way that they can understand it. Not preaching, not religious stuff, but I start talking about it. I bring God into it then. All right. So let me talk about eagles for a minute. If you do a study on eagles, you'll understand a couple of things. The first thing is, and I mentioned this the other night, where the eagle always rises above, never goes below, of any problem or situation. The interesting thing about an eagle is it flies 2 miles above the earth. And the reason it does that is it actually locks its wings in. It has little pins. It actually locks its wings in once it gets above the storm and the clouds, and it just goes in cruise mode, basically. It's a bit like Dom was saying, I think, in his HSV, you know, cruise mode. I can just imagine, same sort of thing. But and they are there 2 miles above the earth. The most amazing thing is, and I'm not going to talk too much about this because it's not what I want to share really, but just to give a bit of insight into eagles, that when they dive at 200 miles an hour. Interesting. And that's why, of course, if a jet plane hits one of them up there, big problems. Big problems. Plane goes down, not the eagle, the plane goes down. Right. Now, the interesting thing is, I said they dive and they can see 2 miles away. So they can see the prey 2 miles away and they dive at 200 miles an hour. And that's why poor little bunny rabbit's got no hope at all because it's just boop, 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 they said, shoop, gone. Just like that. At least they wouldn't know much about it. Better be careful, it might be RSPCA or whatever in the room. But, you know, realistically, 200 mile an hour that moves. Now, the other interesting thing about eagles is that out of all the bird species, right, it's really the smartest, strongest, and most intelligent of all the bird life. Extremely intelligent. And tonight, I want to just bring us a couple of little points about this, right? I want to just maybe do a parallel of our purpose and also the eagle is this. The eagle only reaches its full potential in how it handles its adversity. Let me repeat that. The eagle only reaches its full potential by how it handles adversity that comes its way. And let me make another statement. The eagle loves adversity. Interesting. Loves adversity. Does anybody here love adversity? I don't think we do. It has no fear at all of adversity. Discipline in adversity brings us into full potential. And the point I want to make is this. When an eagle senses a storm, it will never, ever run for cover. Most Christians, including probably most of us in this room, when there's a storm, what do? Run for cover. Would that be a fair statement? Or am I the only one that does that? Oh, a couple of, okay, well, a couple is honest, right? Now, let me ask, or let me make a statement to you. An eagle never thinks survive. It always thinks overcome. Is this getting deep? It's good, isn't it? Deep stuff. So it doesn't think, how do I survive the storm? How do I overcome the storm? So if you do a study of all animals, you'll find they run for cover. The other animals, chickens are a good example. They run for the chicken house. Fox will run into a hole. Rabbit will go to the burrow. Deer will run for its life. But the eagle will always use the storm to lift it higher. So every other bird, if you can get the picture, storm's approaching, goes down. Every other animal scatters. Eagle, first thought is, not survival, overcome. We go over a top. As Christians, I believe a lot of us run for cover. I believe a lot of us, we run for the hills, actually. We're out of there very quickly. In Revelations, we see seven letters written to the seven churches. Each letter ends with a promise to the overcomers, to him who overcomes. Now, I want to just share a little thing, and these things to me are very fascinating. While still in the egg, the little eaglet has a little sharp thing on its beak to break open the egg. Not like most birds. And that's how it breaks the egg out. Most of them hatch out. The eaglet doesn't do that. It has a little tiny, and it breaks that eggshell. The interesting thing, when they've done studies, when they find that somebody actually breaks the eggshell, the eaglet doesn't survive. So even at a young age, in its birth, it survives that way. It breaks out of the egg itself. Let me just tell you something about eagles as well. I want to talk about the number one opposition to an eagle. And hopefully you'll see a parallel of where I'm going with this. Two things the eagle must deal with, as I said. One is the storm. The second thing is the serpent. Now we're starting to get a little bit interesting. The serpent. Not getting religious, but you know where I'm going with this. They are afraid of neither, but obviously they can understand the difference. They embrace the storm and they fight the serpent. Now, let me ask you, or let me challenge you with this. What do we do when a storm approaches us? Are we overcomers? Do we face it head on? Do we run for cover? I would dare to suggest a lot of us are going to run for cover. Isn't that true? Well, once again, is that only just in Australia? It doesn't happen in New Zealand like that. But let me now give you a little thing what the serpent actually does. Because we know the serpent is very cunning. I don't know if you realize snakes are very cunning. Very cunning. What it does is this. It finds out where the eggs are. And the serpent or the snake will go up, because normally if you understand eagles again, you understand they find the closest place they can to the sun where they put their nest. That's why they're so high up in the mountain. Very smart what they do. And that's where the nest is normally with an eagle. If there's rocks around, that's where they are. Now the snake, what it will do, it will find out where that nest is. And it will know where the eggs are. Now, it waits, of course, till the mother flies off. It's smart enough to know that. Now, how many times, now just be careful here, what I'm about to say or what you want to think I'm about to say. This is why I say to people, be very careful when you decide that you're going to do it on your pap alone, as we say in Oz. I don't need the local church. I don't need the local FGB chapter. I don't need this. I don't do that. I'm going to do this on my own. I'm big enough. I'm strong enough. I'm smart enough. Well, let me tell you, I don't think that's a very smart thing today. Because what happens when the serpent actually finds out where the nest is, it'll wiggle its way up there, wait till the mother goes, right? And here's the eggs, or the little ones are there, right? And the little ones are there, and they're watching, and that eagle will come straight in because it knows it can get the little ones stretched like that. But an interesting point, the little ones are pretty smart, because as soon as they see the serpent coming, they start squawking. And they start squawking out for mama very quickly. Now, an interesting thing happens. Mum arrives on the scene. Now, this is the part I really like, and I must be my sense of humour. I'm a bit strange, I know that. A couple of people already told me that today. But mother gets on the scene, and obviously, like any mother, is going to protect the chicks. So quickly, she grabs the snake and rips its head off. I like that bit, you see, because I just see the devil getting his head ripped off. So you got to see my sense of humour. You've got to bear with me, all right? But then next bit I love even more. The mother then feeds the snake to the chicks. Ain't that neat? Or is it just my sense of humour? What do you think, Keith? Oh, I reckon that's pretty neat. Because I can just imagine getting the devil and ripping his head off, right? And then throwing what's left out and feed on it. Wouldn't be too tasty, would it, thinking about it? But never mind. I like the idea, anyhow. You get the idea? So it's just my, you know, funny idea, you know. Maybe I shouldn't have used the notes on that one, Graham. They didn't really get that one, right? So what I want to share with you tonight is this. I want to just use that little analogy because I believe a lot of times what we're doing is that we run for cover. And I want to encourage us tonight. I'm going to pray for some people tonight, of course. But I want us tonight to think very carefully what I'm about to say. Because there many of us have run for cover, and I tell you what, once you isolate yourself, once you start running for cover, once you expose the back of you, you're in big trouble. And a lot of us do that in many ways. I tell you, we do it in many ways, in many situations. I have businessmen that do it in many situations. I have just general Christians do it in situations. We've got to be very careful. And I tell you, one of the biggest and tragedies I think I see in the church today is we got, I believe, we don't have too many eagles. Apart from you, Mr. Eagle. You have two, and Mrs. Eagle, sorry, you have two. And all the other little eagles. Let's not forget them. He's not going to let me forget that, Len. I know that, right? He loves this message. He'll buy 14 copies of that and send to his kids. I know, right? But, you know, honestly, we've got to be eagles. We've got to be overcomers. And I really believe we get into a situation and the first thing we do, we start getting a bit wobbly, a bit on the, where's the brother that shared that wonderful testimony? We start to get a bit like the jelly, you know, we start getting all wobbly. And then we start, what are we going to do now? What? We've prayed at least twice and nothing's actually happened. That's true. Well, maybe it's just me, right? But, you know, that's what we do. And then we think, man, what we got to do? We've got to find the nearest rock. We've got to crawl under it. We've got to find a burrow somewhere. We've got to find somewhere to hide. We've got to ring the pastor at 2 o'clock in the morning to get him to pray for us because that's what pastors do. Any pastors in the house? They'll say yes to that. Right? But what we do, we don't get over the storm. And I really can't understand it sometimes. And Donna said it so well, so beautifully so many times. We got it all here, but we don't apply it. We don't apply it. It's a bit like you, Graham, with your machine. You imagine getting that thumping great big machine you got, you actually stole it, didn't you? Really, that price you paid for it, right? But you won't tell anybody that. But you imagine getting that great machine with no manual. How are you going to operate the thing? And when you get into trouble, you're going to ring up the manufacturer or the supplier and say, man, I've got to trouble this machine. And the guy's going to say, why don't you read the manual? And there's the answer. Simple. Now, we don't do that. So we generally don't read the manual. Then we ring the pastor and he's not home, right? So then we ring up 14 other people and say, brother, you better pray for me. I've got a real crisis in my life right now. What's the crisis? Oh, mate, you wouldn't believe what happened to me today, right? And all we got to do is get above it. But the trouble is we're so busy running around trying to hide somewhere, we don't ever get above it. And it amazes me sometimes, honestly, and I'm not being critical, but sometimes people ask you for prayer things, I just wonder, my goodness, what's going on? Because we have the shield of faith, we know all the whole story, don't we? And yet a little problem comes along, we want to run a million miles. And what really gets me is when I've talked to some people, they turn around and say, and they walk totally away from their faith over something really I think is quite not really insignificant, but it's not very significant at all. I go, what happened? I couldn't get over the problem. Well, get a life. Get over the problem. I said to, where's my sister that came up with prayer, the counsellor, I think the lady that's counselling, she's here somewhere tonight, I saw her. And well, I was just saying, there we go, is that with you? Was it you, sister? Yeah. I just said, you know, in Australia, and maybe it's only happening in Australia, but I get these men that ring me up and they come and see me and they're having all these sorts of problems and all sorts of areas in their life. And I'm a terrible counsellor. My wife knows that because they tell me all these problems they're having. And I go, yeah, I understand all that. But I said, you know what? The biggest problem is you. It's not a very good counsel, is it? And they come in looking for sympathy and pity and all that sort of stuff, right? And I go, well, okay, well, the first thing we've got to do, the first question I ask is, how much of the Bible you read today? Haven't got time, I'm too busy. How much time you spend in prayer today? Oh, I haven't got time, I'm too busy. How many bills are outpaid lately? Oh, lots, because I've got no money to pay them. I said, yeah, I can understand that. And then they've got all these other problems. So I say, what are you actually doing about the problem? Well, I'm talking to you. Well, guess what? It's not my problem. I'll tell you how you can fix it. You leave this place, you go away and you put what's right whatever that situation might be that's caused some of that problem. And then you get back into the Word of God and you start praying, and God's going to give you the answer, and you need to get above the situation. And too many of us, we just succumb to the situation. And I'm seeing it time and time again. And nothing disappoints me more when I see great and mighty men of God that have had incredible ministries, and you would have seen it in this country as well, that they succumb to the situation. Why? When we got the answer here, but we've got to rise above it. We've got to get above the situation. And there's some people here tonight, I just sense in my spirit right now, you need to get above your situation. You need to be big enough and better enough and strong enough to get above it. And stop getting below it and stop getting bogged down by all the junk. Because I tell you what, if you're going to succumb to that, then I tell you what, you are really wishy-washy. Sorry to tell you, but you are. Because if you're going to let the devil con you, well, then I'm sorry, you are a bit wishy-washy, in my opinion. And I'm stressing my opinion. Because I tell you what, everybody in life has problems. And Don said the same thing. Man, I thought I'd had some problems in my life till I heard what this guy was talking about. To be what he's been through and to see what he's seen and to come out like he has is absolutely, to me, amazing. He's a trophy of God's grace, of course, like we all are. Well, but to see where he's come over and his attitude to life, man, I tell you what, I'm feeling embarrassed here. Because we went through some situations last year, but compared to this guy, it's nothing. But I believe he rose above the situation. And he started to see things from God's perspective. That's the point I want to make tonight. I've got to be careful. I don't want to preach to nobody tonight, and I'll probably sound like him. But we've got to rise above the situation. And I want to tell you, for those people in business, and I want to talk to you tonight especially, if you've got a problem in your business, let me tell you something right now. The biggest problem is you. You probably don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. And I'm going to pray with you, of course, and we're going to get over the situation. But I tell you what, sorry, you're going to get over the situation because you're going to be big enough and man enough to get up and get over it. One thing I learned, hang in, that's right. One thing I learned when I grew up on the farm, they used to teach you, not that I ever rode a horse, didn't want to do that, but they said, if you ever fall off, you've got to get back on again. I had enough trouble with bulls. Why am I going to get in trouble with horses for? If you think that's a lot of bull, you know what I'm talking about. You heard what I was talking about the other night, or the other morning, sorry, it was. Feels like a long time ago. So tonight, I want to pray for some people. But I want to encourage you in this. God is on your case. After everything I've just said, God is on your case. And if God is before us, who can be against us? But I tell you what, you can rise above every situation, every circumstance. All that comes back is attitude and how you perceive the situation. And I want to tell you right now, there's not a man or woman in this place, you are bigger than your situation or circumstance right now. I don't care whether you're facing sickness or disease. See, I look at these people like this and I'm thinking, man, I wish I had an attitude like that. Because I tell you, these are people that have overcome their situation because they've faced it, not head on, but they've got above the situation. And they've gone in, not into damage control. I tell you, I don't like the word damage control. I'm going to get excited in a minute, but I don't like damage control because that really means that you're going to go down. And I tell you, I don't like it when people go down, especially when they're friends of mine and they're Christians, because they shouldn't go down. All right? And I want to tell you, there's people here, and tonight, I tell you, you guys ain't going to go down because you're already above the situation because you're seeing it from God's perspective. And irrespective of whether we prayed for you or not, you still would have stayed above the situation. You were not going to succumb to that. You were not going to go down. You ain't going to go running nowhere. You ain't going to go whinging and complaining. You're just going to get on with it and do what God's called you to do. And I love it when people, God's people, do what the God's called them to do. Because I tell you, if you do what God called you to do, there's nothing, nothing in this world that's going to ever hold you back or down. Amen? That's the truth of it. And I tell you, we've got too many people that want to be bogged down in all this stuff. Well, I tell you what, I've seen the trenches. I saw them at Gallipoli, and there was a word prophesied tonight about that as well, about the Anzac spirit. But I want to tell you, it's about time, us Kiwis, us Aussies, and I'm saying I'm a Kiwi right now because I've been here a while, and I reckon that sort of gives me a bit of liberty and latitude, right? Because a few of you guys love me anyhow. So, you know, you're starting to claim me. This guy's trying to claim me for Scotland. Got no hopes. Too cold over there. It's colder than Invercargill. But I want to tell you something, right? That Anzac spirit we're talking about is alive and well. And I tell you what, if you've got the Anzac spirit in you that your forefathers had in you, no situation, no circumstances is ever going to get you down. Because you're going to rise above it. Because those young kids who were kids, I tell you, and they looked up on that hill up there and thought, man, we're going to take that hill. And they took it. It took them days to do it. And it took them, thousands of them went down, I tell you. But every time they went down, the ones that went down, the wounded, all they want to do is get back up there with their mates again. And I tell you, as Christians, it's about time also, I'll get on that case right now, that we need to stand with our mates. I tell you, those Anzacs taught us something. That Simpson taught us something. Because I tell you what, as soon as somebody was wounded, he didn't start looking around and say, oh man, there's some shells around here, I've got to dive for cover. He was out there gone like a shot, and he was pulling those people back onto the beach. And everybody around the world just about knows about Simpson. Even the Americans, God bless them, who they don't even teach Australian history or Kiwi history, they've heard about Simpson. The guy had a bit more than guts. I tell you what, he was just a go-getter. And he said, man, some of our guys need some help. I'm going to get down there and help them. And as Christians, I tell you about it. And full gospel business, I tell you, it's about time we start to get alongside a few of our people that maybe they're struggling a little bit. Maybe they just can't at this point of time because of their health situation or maybe their faith situation. They're struggling to get above it. I tell you what, we just want to go, don't want to go and pick them up and drag them along. We want to get them and get them over the situation. One thing I know about FGBFI guys, we don't let nobody down. We are, you know, we're the Anzac guys, eh? It's about time some of us stood up. I like the word that this guy was bringing. It's about time we stood up. Don was bringing, sorry. We got to stand up. I better stop preaching. This is FGB. Let's pray. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you for every man, woman here, Lord. I thank you for the families they represent. I thank you for the businesses they represent, Lord. Thank you for them, Lord. You love them, Lord. Father, if I'm preached, please forgive me because I should not hear to preach, Lord. They don't need to hear no preaching. But Father, some of them need to hear. They need to be overcomers. They need to get above it, Lord, not below it. We ain't no rabbit. We ain't no fox. We ain't no little chicken. We're an eagles, Lord. We're eagles. And we're going over the top. Like those Anzacs did, Father, down there in Gallipoli. We're going over the top, Lord God. We're going over the top. And we're going to ride with you, Lord, on wings like eagles, as it says in Isaiah. We're going to be on wings like eagles, Father, in the name of Jesus. So just get the music team up, please. In the name of Jesus. And Father God, I just want to thank you again for these people, Lord God. I thank you, Father. I'm talking to a lot of overcomers, but Lord, there's some here. They need to understand this stuff. They need to become overcomers totally. They need to become overcomers individually, in their chapters, corporately, Lord God, because we are the ones to lead the way. We are the ones that the world are going to see a difference. And there might be a few here tonight, Lord God. I've talked a lot about Jesus. They may not have their life right with you, Lord God. They know about you, but they don't know you, Lord. Like I was when I was a little kid, Lord, when I said when I was 15. Knew all about you, but didn't know you, Lord. And I want every eye bowed. But if something I've said has stirred your heart, stirred your spirit, and you say, I want to know this Jesus, I want you to give me a quick wave of your hand. I want to pray with you after the meeting. I want to pray after me. If anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. I want to pray with you. I'm not going to prolong any of this. Thank you, Lord. I take it then, Lord, they all know you. That's great, Lord. There's those, Father, that in this meeting tonight, you can look at me now, that you haven't come forward and you haven't received that power source. See, all I'm is a connector. That's all I am. I want to connect you to the power source tonight. We're going to get the national board and the wise up here. We're going to pray for you guys tonight. And if you want to touch a fresh touch to the anointing, we want to pray with you. If you want to be connected to the power source, we're going to pray with you. If you have sickness or disease in your body, we want to pray with you. But I want to particularly pray for one group first. And that's that group I'm talking about. You know, you've heard what I've said. You know what I'm talking about. You know you're not an overcomer right now, but you're going to become one and you want to be one right now. And if you've got a situation, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a situation in your family right now. I don't care if it's a situation in your business right now, in your personal walk with Jesus right now. I want you to come over here on the right-hand side. I'm going to pray for you because tonight you're going to become overcomers. You're going to become overcomers. We're going over the top together. Brothers and sisters, we're going on the top together. And I don't prolong altar calls, but if you're all overcomers here, well, man, that's the first time I've ever been in a meeting where you're all overcomers. I tell you, I'd be absolutely surprised. Thank God if you are. But I tell you what, if you know you need to get that done, well, let's get it done right now. Because we don't want to prolong nothing. I want to pray for anybody that you're struggling in any situation. And you say, Rod, that's me. I'm struggling, Rod. I'm struggling in that situation. I'm not overcoming it. And I don't know why, but I tell you what, tonight I want to be like an eagle. I want to fly like an eagle. I want to take that situation head on. I want to face it head on. I'm going over the top. I'm going over the top tonight. I want to fly like an eagle. I want those people on that right hand over that side there, please. I want to pray for those people there. All those people that, you know that shoe. I want you over there. For those who need a touch of healing, I want you right over this side over here. You're struggling in your health and you have a health situation. I want to pray for you over there and that side there. For those who want a fresh touch of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the power source, I want you up in the center here. And we're going to pray for each one of you tonight. I especially want to pray for those in ministry tonight. And this is all FGB guys. You're all in ministry anyhow. Right? I definitely want you up here. We're going to pray. We're going to get fresh touch. We're going to just plug you into the power source again and get you fired up. There's a river of anointing. I want to just mention that again. There's a river anointing flowing through this place. It's a healing anointing. There's a healing anointing here. There's also anointing here for the power. I just sense anointing of power.
The gentleman I'm going to ask to come and share tonight is a very special man. He's been involved with the fellowship for a number of years. He's served as president for a number of years. And when he stepped down from that, he just carried on being the vice president and the secretary. A man that can invite men to come and they don't turn them down. A man that's proactive and has a heart for the fellowship. The man I'm talking about is Eric Saunders. And Eric is going to come and share his short testimony with us now. God bless you, my brother. Praise God.
Thank you, Keith. Just one little thing. You missed out the treasurer's job. Got to fill the gap in. Bless you all. It's the first time I've stood up before such a large crowd of people to share my testimony. And God's grace that I'm here tonight. So I'm still suffering from the hot flush I started yesterday when Keith asked me to come and speak tonight. And it's still going. Anyway, my testimony, I suppose, would go back to when God would have had his hand on me when I was about five. I got about a few weeks of Sunday school that's still indelible in my mind. The little songs we sung, there was a thing of Jesus walking along the road. I can't remember where it was to, but I can still see that, and then it was chopped off. I had no idea why, and I probably never went back to school to church till I was in my teens. Totally cut off. In hindsight, I found my dad had become a Jehovah's Witness, and my mum was Presbyterian, and there was conflict in the house, and we weren't allowed to do anything. However, as we grew up, I left home and went to work, and I worked for a Presbyterian couple, and I started going to church. Then I became a communicant member in the Presbyterian church. And then I found out, well, hey, you're supposed to get confirmed first, but put cart before the horse. I got sprinkled at 21. Then I moved from there on to working. In 1960, I was walking down the main street of Hamilton. And a friend of mine, a school friend, saw him standing there with this young lady beside him, and I thought, oh, I'll go and say good day to Fred. And he introduced me to this young lady, Amy. And things progressed from there, and she's now my wife. So that's really cool, that one, yeah. And we got married in 1962, and we were at Otorohanga, and I was working on a dairy farm there, and he was in the Masonic Lodge. And three brothers were in the Masonic Lodge, and I joined. I didn't ask Amy if I could, I just did it. My arrogance, which I've had to repent of since then. And we milked cows and managed the place. And I was a good member of the lodge. And then we shifted away from Otorohanga to Tiamutu. And I sort of did a little bit of attending occasionally. And then we moved out to Arahina, where we spent 25 years with our own farm out there. And in the meantime, we had two boys, and we adopted two girls. And I've got one charming daughter here tonight that I think most of you would have seen stand up and go down and stand up and go down. And we went through some pretty tough times. And I'd never read the Bible, really, until I was when I went to work, I still didn't read the Bible. And it wasn't until about 1987, a local fella that I knew in one of the next district, he did a survey of three districts, Pukeatua, Arahina and Whareipapa, to get some home groups going. And I agreed to go to a home group. And I attended this for 12 months and never opened my mouth because I was too scared. I'd put my foot in it, you know, which I can easily do today. And in the meantime, in 87, Amy had become a Christian, but she never told me. Very wise. But she was in a home group with some other ladies in the district, and they prayed for me. I found out later. Anyway, in 24th of March 1990, I had made the decision to go to Rotorua to hear Delores Winder. Some of you might have known her, little wee lady, had a great healing ministry. I had the choice of Rotorua or Hamilton. I picked Rotorua. I didn't, God did. Because she spoke on the Masonic Lodge. And at that point, I made a commitment to Jesus and let it go. Went to Hamilton. I still had dealings in Hamilton. I went through about 20 handkerchiefs that day in Hamilton. God really changed me. In the early years, prior to 24th of March 1990, I had a very blue mouth. What came out was not nice. And within a few days, God healed me of all my swearing. Shocked Amy. Absolutely shocked Amy because I'm pretty bad. And he did a lot of stuff in my life and cleaned me up. And came home from Rotorua feeling very good. And just a few days, the week prior, we'd been getting some big gum trees cut down at the end of our house because the branches were just falling off. They just let go. And didn't improve my car shed because it was almost underneath them. Anyway, on the Monday morning, I sat down to write my resignation to the Masonic Lodge in Otorohanga. And honestly, as I sat there, I could hardly hang on to a pen. And my description is that if you get a jelly out of a bowl, put a pen in it, jiggle it and say, right. That's how I felt. And I only got halfway through it, and the tanker driver came in and said, "Hey, you better come out, your hay barn's on fire." Because I'd had just a wee fire there burning up the little bits of twig that were left. And there was no show that it could get to the hay barn. Anyway, it burnt down. We had the fire engine, big drama. And after they'd all gone, I went through the house like a packet of salts, looking for everything that I could find to do with the Masonic Lodge. And I threw it in what was left of the hottest part of the fire and burnt the lot. Everything. Even the jersey of Amy's that looked a bit new agey and had all these beads. It got burnt up. But God gave me a heap of compassion. And I had an appointment with the bank manager one day, and I was standing outside the ANZ in Te Awamutu in the main street. And the fire engines went out. And my compassion got going, and then another fire engine went out. Then the little emergency one with all their cutting gear and everything went out. And yeah, my teardrops were sort of flowing somewhat when I went in to see the bank manager, and here I am, a bit of a blubby mess, trying to discuss finances with a bank manager. Anyway, as time went on, God gave us quite a ministry for a while there. Our daughter was going to buy a house with the guy she was living with, and we prayed against that. And God was gracious and let Natalie decide that it wouldn't happen. And that was not a good thing for that to happen anyway. And then that happened twice. In 1993, 3 years after I became a Christian, we had Bob Trench, a little short African. I loved that guy because he was played soccer. And he had trouble with his opponent being a big tall guy, probably like Graham here. And every time this guy would jump up, he shoved his fingers in his shorts, and as he went up, the shorts come down. And he gave me the gift of the Spirit. And that was really great, going home that night talking to the Lord. And I was invited to join Full Gospel about 1987, actually. And I thought, oh, this is cool. I'm being invited out to a free meal. And that was my attitude at that stage. But God could look over that and see what I was going to do in the future. And I joined up, and it didn't seem to be very long before I was on the committee. And one thing led to another. I did the treasury job, and then I did the president, and then I did secretary, God has blessed the chapter. He's always provided us with enormous amount of speakers. I don't know why, but we can, year after year, we can put a whole year's speakers together in February. It's really a great blessing. Sometimes it's you wish you didn't have so many, because some good guys come through and we're all booked up. But never mind, they are the ones that God wants us to have, I guess. And he just keeps providing names for us. We had a couple of years of, one specific year where we had interchange with our chapters between Hamilton, Otorohanga, Te Awamutu, and there was two or three chapters up in Auckland that we visited that year. And there would be a little team of two or three would go and share our testimonies with them, and that was a really great time to get before the Lord and ask for words of knowledge and that sort of thing. Gives you great confidence when you go to a meeting and you've done that, and those things are taken up. It gives you a real boost, and it's real good for your faith. I was out on a hunt once. I'm a keen hunter. Not that I could get a lot of time to do it, but I was down the bush one time, and it came towards evening, and as sure as I'm speaking to you, I heard God's voice saying, "Go home." And I thought, get lost, you know, I'm here to hunt. But it was insistent, go home. So I packed up and went home. So to this day, I don't know why, what was going to happen if I stayed. But I was obedient, so I'm still here. And it's interesting to see how your family react to when you become a Christian. One of my brothers in Hamilton put it on me to accost him three times to get out of the Masonic Lodge. But he's never done it since. And the third time, I told my brother Peter, it may not be the last time, but the promptings of the Lord to do that, I was obedient, I did it. I found it very nerve-wracking, but he's still there. He's just absolutely blind, as all Masons are. So it was God uses our experiences. I sometimes wonder why he lets us go through some things. I was thinking that while Don was talking with his accident and that he nearly killed himself. But we can use those incidents to minister to people specifically, because you know exactly where they are. And that's like you, Rob, that's you got all these stories and things that you go through, and you've had the personal experience, and nothing can replace that. Yes. So, what we invest in the Lord. I've turned this one over, and I didn't know whether to speak it, but I'm going to anyway. You know, yesterday Don was talking about what are we getting a return on our money? And I very nearly got up to say, well, I've just got 200% on my investment. And that's what I see this conference is for me. For what I've parted out for my daughter to come. I've got more than 200% to see what's happened. And it's just what's going to go on. And the blessings that we've had. So, yeah.